Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, beautiful listeners. I am love. I am loving. I am lovable. And so are you. This is Jude Albright, your host, and I welcome you to Love Your Addiction. Yes, I did say love your addiction. Most people certainly don't love their addictions. Rather, they fight them, feel powerless over them, become sad at their effects, and struggle to release them. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now finally remember who you really are, and that is pure magnificence. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be, who you're denying yourself and the world for that fact? I'm here today to offer you another possibility. What if you could see addictions through different eyes, loving eyes? Many of us have forgotten that we are love, that we were created by a loving creator. And I'm going to call that Father, Mother, Creator, God, but there are many names for it, like Source, All That Is, Supreme Being, Universe, Higher Power. It matters not. Many have also forgotten that we are creators also. Why have we created addictions? Well, I believe they're a magnificent tool for learning. Here in this third-dimensional world, we've chosen to learn, that is, to experience life through polarities, like hot and cold, night and day, male and female. I also believe that we're all looking for love, mainly because of our loss of connection to our source, our God. Often, we look for this love from our families, and we don't get it because they can't give us what they don't have. And this leaves a mark on us as children. And we think there's something wrong with us. Well, I guarantee you, I know there is no thing wrong with any of us. And we're not here to tackle our feelings of inadequacy alone or by ourselves. In fact, we are all sons and daughters of a benevolent creator, and we need each other for support. My intention is that you open your hearts wide open and accept that you are good enough, important enough, and smart enough to live the life of your dreams. And I doubt whether anyone has dreamed of becoming the best addict ever. Today, we are going to be looking at victim or victor. What do you choose? Do you know that your message can make a huge difference in someone's life if you're willing to share it? And on my last show, I had the most interesting person call in and share who he is. And he is fantastic. So I invited him back to be a guest on today's show. And he graciously accepted and is willing to share his story. You are in for some major awarenesses. Bob Eden from Australia will be helping you to understand codependency and its prevalence and sharing insights on depression and abuse. And he states, and this is his quote, "For me, We are all victims of victims. And if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. End of quote. He also will be showing us how he became master and commander of his own life. We would enjoy your participation, and if you have specific questions for him or for me, or comments, please call in at 516-453-9181, and we'll address them. The chat room is disabled, and so it's not available today. And so, again, you can call in at 516-453-9181. We're all in this together, and I'm sure that each of you desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life. So let's get each other there by changing our thoughts and our beliefs. And now, after this brief introduction, I am going to introduce you to the wonderful Bob Eden. Growing up, he certainly didn't feel wonderful. But today, he knows he is wonderful. And so will you. So, Bob, we welcome you. You can turn up your volume right now.
Okay.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I've unmuted my mic. Hey, g'day, Jude.
Yes, good day to you, or good morning, and thank you for participating at 5 o'clock in the morning, your time. That's great. I would like to start with your childhood, because you described it to me as horrific. So what was horrific like? Would you tell us about your mom and dad and how you were treated, please?
Yeah, okay. June, what I'll do is pick up the talking stick and through referring to my childhood, explain that phrase, we're all victims of victims, and if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. And then when I finish making that point, I'll put the talking stick down again. So I just, please don't interrupt because it breaks the flow. But if you think I've been talking for too long, just say something like rabbits and I'll shut up and put the talking stick down.
I'm not going to do that. You monitor yourself, please.
Okay. Well, I'll pick up the talking stick now, and please, no interruptions, because it just breaks the flow with this. Okay. We're all victims of victims, and if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. Now, I had a very violent and abusive childhood. And abuse is abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual, but abuse is abuse. There's no differentiation. So I had a very abusive childhood, but in that childhood I developed survival skills that allowed me to survive my dysfunctional family. The only trouble is, I took those with me into adult life. My depression kicked in 1984, and when I started taking all the medications and psychiatrists. But in 1990, I started doing some personal growth work on healing the wounds of my childhood. And so I went back. And Mum was always randomly angry. So Mum was always beating me, whether I was good or bad. So basically, I got the crap beaten out of me for many years. And so the message I internalized as a child was, Mum is always beating me, therefore she does not love me, therefore I am unlovable, and it's all my fault. And then the second message I got from Mum was, and the world's a dangerous place, because I'm always getting bashed. And then the message I got from Dad was, well, Dad never spends any time with me. Therefore, he does not love me. Therefore, I am unlovable. And it's all my fault. So those are the messages that I internalized. And I'm going through doing the work. And I got to this stage where, God, I hate you, Mum. I hate you for what you did to me. But then, you've got to love your mum. You've only got one mum. And it was that dichotomy that was tearing my soul apart. Hating Mum for how she treated me. But you've got to love your mum. So that's when I sat down and wrote the letter to Mum, dear mum, this is just me telling you my story of how it felt for me growing up as a child in our family. And so I got the notepad out, and you know, I thought it'd be a couple of pages, but it ended up not being like War and Peace. Dear mum, I hated it when you dangled me by my wrist and hit me with a carpet sweeper. I hated it when you threw the washing tongs at me. I hate it when you hit me with a saucepan. I hate, you know, and I just got it all out, and there was pages of it, you know, just got all of those childhood memories out. And then I signed it, Your Loving Son, Bob. And then I posted it to her in England. And that's one of the hardest things I ever did. I got a letter back from Mum saying, oh, Bobby, you must think I'm the best mother as a whole verb, but I was only doing my... And I replied to that, and Mum, I said, Mum, this is not about blame. This is just about telling you my story. Tell me your story. So eventually she wrote back. And she was born in Germany in 1924. Her father was an alcoholic. Her mother was a control freak. Her cousins were in the SS, although they were shot. Basically, she had a very dysfunctional, violent, abusive childhood as well. And so the light bulb went off. You know, like, wow, now I can understand the process here. Mum's just dumping on me what got dumped on her. But by writing that letter, I handed it back. And so a couple of days later, after I stopped crying, I phoned Mum in England, and she was in hospital with a second instance of bowel cancer, and I managed to speak to her on the phone, and that's the first time we spoke as mother and son, adult to adult, and with tears both sides of the pond, we had a beautiful conversation, and then the following day she died. Now, what a magnificent closure. But then it was like, wow, somebody's taken the elephant off my shoulders. But what's this little niggle here? There's still a little niggle. And I thought, right, Dad, you bastard. So I got the notepad out and wrote a letter to Dad. He'd already died, but I wrote the letter, put it in an envelope to Dad in heaven, and burnt it. And so that's how I broke the multi-generational cycle of abuse and handed it back. I did not deserve that. And ever since that time, I've been reinventing myself. So, yeah, I'll put the talking stick down now, and I think I've answered that question. So, yes, you'll go.
Beautifully put. I love the fact that you did have a magnificent closure with your mother, and that it happened the day before she died. I mean, talk about synchronicity and how beautiful things can be. I really asked you to share your story because there are so many people involved in addictions that want to ignore what happened to them as children. And for the most part, what happened to us as children makes unconscious impressions on us, just like you said that you didn't feel loved, you thought it was all your fault. Those are very typical childhood feelings. And so by people listening to your story who have had similar experiences, I hope they are going to be able to understand by listening to you how they can come out of it and they can reinvent. Because that was beautifully put.
What I would like to say.
Sure.
What I would like to say is I came to the realization that I couldn't change my past, but I could go back and heal it. And for me, the biggest recommendation I can make to anybody that's listening is to go back and do the work. Heal the wounds of childhood. Because picture a little two-year-old toddler. And we were all there once, you know, taking our first steps, spreading our arms out with our starfish fingers, and the world's wonderful and magical, and we're a magical being. But by the time you're 7 years old, the system has beaten all that magic out of us. And so the damage for me, the damage is done in those first 7, 8, 9 years. So healing that work for me is vital. You know, if you don't do that, then you're just carrying that baggage with you, you know. And so I got rid of the baggage. But Mum's story, has a beautiful closure. Since she's passed on, I managed to contact her through a medium about a year ago. And the lady that was, you know, facilitating the process, she asked me things that only Mum and I know. So it was, you know, it was genuine. And the message I got from Mum was, and she was crying, she said, "Thank you so much for sending me that letter." Because now she's going through her own process of healing her childhood, even though she's in the beyond. So that, you know, that just blew me away. That just blew me away.
Beautifully put, and I've heard similar stories to that, so that's great. When we talked earlier, you mentioned codependency and the fact that so many people don't understand it and had problems with things that you said. Could you relate to us now how codependency relates to your life and how you would describe it?
Yeah, okay. I'll pick up the talking stick again. codependency, what does it mean for me? Well, listen to any love song or any country western song. You are my world. My life is empty without you. Yeah. Yes. Oh, hang on, you broke the flow there. Yeah, please don't interrupt. So codependency for me just meant that there's so many sides to it. It's like, I know what's good for you. The way I got through and reprogrammed myself from codependency was like a two-step process. One, I started using I statements only. I owned everything I said. And as we've shared before, this all comes back to my philosophy on life, which is all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. Because I got confused when so many people are saying, well, we need to do this, but, you know, I'm sovereign, I'm equal, and I'm unique. So when people say that, we need to do this, I say to them, well, can you point to the list of names that this we statement is talking about? And if my name's on that list, take it off. Because nobody speaks for me. Only I can speak for me, and I can't speak for anybody else. And then the other one that people hide behind is the you. Look, like, when you do this, you feel like this. Well, whenever I hear that, I check in with myself and think, well, the last time I did that, I didn't feel anything like that. So who is this you that you are talking about? And so now, I don't use we or you anymore, because I cannot speak for the we, I cannot speak for you, but I can speak to the we and to the you. So now in my speech, and I've retrained the way I talk over the last 10 or 15 years, is for me, this is the challenge I faced, and this is my experience, and this is what I did about it. Or if I want people to come along with me, for me, I believe that it would be beneficial. I'm going to do all I can to prevent future burning of fossil fuels. Does anybody want to come along and join me? So, you know, I'm not saying we need to do, because I don't know anybody else's needs. And then going back to that sovereign statement, being a sovereign, meaning I am the only person in this whole universe that can ever know what my needs are. You know, my needs are food, clothing, shelter, nature, nurture. So nobody else can ever know what my needs are. And the funny thing is, in my journey, when I'm struggling the most, that's when I learn the most about me. You know, especially if I'm fighting for my life, then I really learn a lot in those events. But that's usually the time that all the rescuers gather around and say, well, what you need to do here, mate, is, you know, and I said, well, sorry, mate, you know, I'm here to live my life, my way, not your way. So that's the first thing, using I statements, owning everything I say. And this little phrase was really, really helpful in getting me beyond codependency. And that is, in commas, unsolicited advice is abuse. And I think I've already explained why. People that give advice are doing so because they don't like the way I'm living or doing something, and they want me to do it their way. Well, I'm not here to live my life their way. I'm here to live my life my way. And I do. My life's awesome. I do create it, for I am master and commander of my life. Okay, I'll shut up again now, Jay.
That was a very nice description of codependency, and we have been trained as a society to be codependent. And when we're codependent, what we really are doing is taking the focus off of ourselves and what's going on with us, and we're focusing on another. And you described it in terms of words, and when you said you go to the I rather than the you or the we, that is definitely one way of doing it. I want to share a very tiny example of something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine came into my house, and I was going to make him some dinner, and I asked him to go into the cupboard to get a certain bowl out for me. And while he was looking in the cupboard, he decided to rearrange it. Now, that is a perfect example of codependency. He thought he knew the best way for my kitchen cupboard to be arranged. It was none of his business. Nobody asked him to do it. But that is an example of what a codependent might do, is rearrange things in your house or in your life the way they think they should be. And Bob, I like the way you said it, that nobody knows what your needs are but you. And so for those of you listening who are living with or loving somebody who is deeply involved in his or her addiction, you don't really know the underlying cause of the addiction. And you might know that this person is hurting himself or herself by whatever the addiction is. And that's why when we do interventions, we do it in a loving way. Not saying that we know what's best for somebody, but by pointing out some of the stupid, ridiculous things that they have done when they've been under the influence or involved with whatever their addiction might be. We don't have a whole lot more time. This is a short program. Is there anything, Bob, that you would like to comment on right now?
Yeah, quickly. There is a very fine line between caregiving and caretaking. Now, caregiving is helping somebody with their permission to do something that they are unable to do at that time, or finding a bird with a broken wing. As you take it home, put it in a nice warm box, and take it to the vet to get it fixed. Now, that's caregiving. But caretaking is when you do something for somebody and they didn't ask you to do. Like, you went down and helped the little old lady across the road, and you get to the other side of the road and she bashes you over the head with her umbrella. She didn't want to cross the road. So there is so much of that in our society. People want to take care of me, but I'm sovereign. I am sovereign. If you want to be a real friend, be there when I put my hand up and ask. I ask for help. And then the last thing, really, this little statement just nails. Well, I'll just talk about words quickly. Here's another one of my bumper stickers. My words are my spells, so I do cast them wisely. For the universe is always listening and takes everything I say literally. Literally. And then my closing statement will be, I would ask anybody listening to just ponder this little phrase. For me, all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. So if we're all equal, I have no jurisdiction over anyone, and nobody has jurisdiction over me. As we're all unique, I'll never know how you experience your life unless you share your experience with me. And then sovereign is all about just being the owner. I am the master and commander of my life, and I take full responsibility for this life that I do create, which is why I create a great one. And yes, I do love my addictions. I probably love them too much, but thank you so much for inviting me on your show, darling.
I really appreciate everything that you have said, and I hope listeners have heard reflections of themselves in things that you have said. And I'm going to just take a minute to briefly outline the six basic steps that you said for your own personal empowerment. And number one is empty the wheelbarrow. Number two, question everything that doesn't resonate with your heart. Deprogram yourself from all the conditioning, especially codependent behavior. Reestablish belief in yourself. Follow your heart and trust your intuition. And by those six steps, you have brought yourself into your own commandership of your own life. True?
Yeah, you got the seventh one. Giggle a lot. You got to giggle a lot.
Okay. I didn't add the seventh.
You take yourself seriously.
Okay, in the pictorial introduction to this program, I listed the six. I didn't have your seventh one, but I listed them on a print if anybody is interested in copying those. And I truly appreciate who you are, who you have been, and for those of you who are living in a situation that was similar to Bob's when he was growing up, know that you are in charge of changing that by your feelings and your thoughts, which create your beliefs, which create your experiences. So I am asking everybody, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Bob, we thank you for your truth, and would you please tell listeners how they can get a hold of you?
The best way is just through Facebook. Yeah, Bob Eden on Facebook. And one question I love to ask anybody I meet, and it upsets a lot of people, is if you're not creating your life, who is?
That's a good one. That's a very good one. And a lot of people would have a problem with that because they believe that they're victims. And you definitely have stepped from victimization into victorhood, if there is such a word. Thank
sovereign,
you again.
Sovereign's the word.
Sovereign what? I didn't hear the second word.
I've gone from victim to sovereign.
Okay. It sounds great. And that is the whole point of Love Your Addiction. So I am asking listeners, what if you started believing that you are important enough, good enough, beautiful enough, and smart enough to change your life? And everything that you've done to make you wrong, will you now destroy and uncreate that? And with that, I will send you love. I will say goodbye. Stay tuned for new possibilities in your life and stay beautiful. And with that, I say bye.